Okay, is everybody ready? Just to give you a brief introduction, I'm going to talk about the risks of nuclear energy as compared with certain other more familiar risks that we face. So a little bit about nuclear energy and a little bit about other risks. It will become clear. It's not complicated. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether it's struck you, but it certainly struck me recently, that nuclear energy is firmly back on the agenda in many countries. And these are countries which had, to a large extent, abandoned it, or were in the process of phasing it out as a source of energy. Many countries started to phase out nuclear energy following massive anti-nuclear protests in the 1980s. It was very unpopular among the general public. But, of course, the reason that it's now resurfaced is because of the increasing recognition of the seriousness of climate change worldwide, and an awareness of the need to turn away from carbon-based forms of energy. In the United Kingdom, for example, the government has recently published an energy white paper which rather controversially recommended the building of 8 new nuclear power stations around the country over the next 15 years. So, as I've said, nuclear energy is rather controversial. Certainly that is the case in the UK, but it's also true in many other European countries. And, of course, the reason is that people are worried about the possible repercussions of its use. Radiation is considered to be a major health risk, and people are worried about an accident at a nuclear plant, the risk of a leak, and are also concerned about the issue of safely disposing of nuclear waste, because that hasn't properly been resolved. And, of course, a lot of this goes back to the Chernobyl catastrophe, which may have happened 20 years ago, but is still all too fresh in people's minds. However, according to two recent studies that were published in the UK, it appears that we may actually be worrying about the wrong thing, because on the basis of these reports, we are actually more at risk from the air we breathe every day in our polluted cities than we would be from a potential increase in radiation levels due to a nuclear leak. Now, those of us above a certain age all remember very clearly what happened in Chernobyl, but for the benefit of any younger members of the audience, I will just remind you of the basic facts. In 1986, two explosions at the Chernobyl nuclear reactor killed 3 people immediately, and more than 30 people subsequently died from acute radiation poisoning. And then, of course, there was this radioactive cloud which was released from the reactor following the explosions, which spread across much of Europe, caused widespread panic, and is estimated to have caused up to 16,000 deaths in total. So this was certainly a major catastrophe. 16,000 deaths is no small matter. However, a report which was published this March by the Royal Commission on Environmental Pollution, this is a body in the UK which is responsible for monitoring environmental pollution, has suggested that air pollution in Britain is responsible for 24,000 premature deaths every year. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's 1.5 Chernobyls every year. There were some other rather serious findings from the report as well. For example, children living close to motorways. If a child lives within about 500 metres of a motorway, they already have significantly reduced life expectancy. And they suffer from much higher levels of permanent lung damage than other children do. This is, of course, due to pollutants from car exhausts. And a further finding from this study was that women living in areas of high pollution have a significantly increased risk of dying from a heart attack. But that's not all. There's more to come, because there was a second study published a month later, in April of this year, in which a government scientist actually assessed the health risks faced by two particular groups of people in the aftermath of the Chernobyl incident. The first group were the emergency workers who were sent into the site straight after the accident to make it safe. And the second group were those who illegally and unofficially set up home in the exclusion zone which was set up around the site following the explosions. So he compared the risks that these two groups of people faced because of the increased levels of radiation with various what we might call common everyday hazards such as air pollution, obesity and passive smoking. And his conclusions were rather surprising. He concluded that the Chernobyl group received doses of radiation equivalent to around about 12,000 chest X-rays. And he concluded that this was likely to cause one extra death per 100 by essentially increasing their risk of cancer. However, pollution in central London is thought to increase mortality from heart and lung disease by 2.8%. This is compared to people living in the least polluted city in the United Kingdom, which is Inverness in northern Scotland. And then another everyday risk, which many people don't even think twice about, is passive smoking. Living with a smoker can increase your mortality rate by 1.7%. So both of these increases are greater than the increases experienced by those who were exposed to radiation at Chernobyl. So a further part of the study was that the scientists calculated the long-term mortality rates amongst survivors of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings. And he compared their increased death risk with the risks for active smokers and for obese people. And he found that the radiation exposure experienced even by the most exposed group of survivors led to a significantly lower reduction in life expectancy than is thought to be caused by severe obesity or smoking. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think this makes an interesting contribution to the debate on whether or not it was a sensible decision to abandon nuclear energy in favour of carbon-based power stations. And it will no doubt be welcomed by the UK government as support for its proposal to renew the nuclear programme in the UK. But I also think it's quite interesting in terms of what it says about our ability to realistically assess risk, because it seems that our fear of dangers which are rather intangible and invisible, such as radiation, which we don't really fully understand, need to be somewhat placed in perspective compared to other everyday risks which we encounter in our daily lives, including some which we happily inflict on ourselves on a daily basis. Thank you for your attention.